Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
All right, it is 9:10. We're going to spend an hour talking about the Mid-Barataria sediment diversion, which work has been stopped. It is on hold. The permit has been pulled, as I understand it, from the Corps of Engineers. Politics have gotten involved in this, with Governor Edwards saying that Edwards administration withheld information about a consultant's report. Edwards administration saying that's not true. Back and forth on that. The report is 500 pages of technical jargon. So for anybody to read this and understand it, I'm sure there are interpretations beyond that. I don't know how you decide what's right or what's wrong on this. I'm not smart enough to figure it out myself. Gordon Dove joins us now. We'll talk to him, and then we'll talk to Simone Malaz, campaign director for Restore the Mississippi River Delta, get a couple of different sides on this. How you doing, Gordon? Gordon Dove?
How you doing, Tommy? Gordon Dove, chairman of the Coastal Protection Restoration Authority Board.
You're damn right you are. Tell me about the roots of this Mid-Barataria sediment diversion and why, what the science says, why you think the science is either faulty or wrong and that it's not the way to go about it. Because I don't know.
Okay. Because, Tommy, let's go back from the beginning. I was in the legislature from 2004 to 2015. So I was here doing everything happening here. This is just, I didn't come in a year ago and start learning. I've already knew some of it. Of course, I learned as we reviewed everything. Mm-hmm. Now, so for 10 years, the Corps of Engineers studied a diversion, the diversion into Barataria Basin from the Mississippi River. In 2005, there was a report issued. They looked at 150,000 CFS, 100,000 CFS, 75,000 CFS, which is what was they were trying. That's what the state was trying to build, 50, 25, and 2,500 to 15,000. All the engineering reports, everything showed, and the Corps reported 2,500 to 15,000. They never.
Let me slow down a little bit, Gordon. Let me slow down a little bit. Just so people understand what we're talking about. When you say 2,500 to 15,000, tell me what you're talking about.
The Corps recommended in 2005, after a decade of studies, and they looked at the larger diversions, a small diversion of 2,500 to 15,000 cubic foot per second. Okay? Now, if in 2007 it was submitted under the Corps' chief report.
Wait. Did you say 2,500 to 15,000?
Yes, sir.
That's a big range, isn't it?
They're going to operate it within that criteria so they
I got you.
So they can maintain the fisheries, okay?
Okay.
So they in 2007, WRDA, Water Resources Development Act, they submitted under the chief's report a 2,500 to 15,000 CFS diversion with long-distance pipeline sediment that would create 19,000 acres, okay? That was approved. The CPRA, the state, Natural Resources, everyone signed off on it. That's what we were building. We were never building this 75,000. And in April of 2010, McConnell came along. Disaster. Okay, the money started coming about 2013 and 14. We got.
Okay, hang on a second. I just want to slow you down. I just want to slow you down a little bit for the audience. You're talking about the BP oil spill happened, right?
In the McConnell, yes, sir. For those who don't know, it was April of 2010.
Okay.
So about 3 years later, I was on CPRA at the time. We started getting the money in. It was split into three pots, the NERDA, NIFLIF, and Restore Act pots. That's where you go to get the money for construction. And
okay.
So lo and behold, in 2013, it was suspended. It was suspended by the CPRA at that time. I did not.
What was suspended? The 2,500 to 15,000 project?
It was a letter was sent to the Corps of Engineers suspending what they took 10 years and came up with a small diversion like that with pipeline sediment.
I got to slow you down a little bit. So when you say it was suspended, who suspended that project that the Corps had recommended?
The CPRA.
CPRA, okay. And when you talk about long-distance pipeline, you're talking about dredging, correct?
Dredging out the river and pumping it into the marshes. Yes.
Right. I just got to slow you down, Gordon, because you understand all this, but people listening, they're not, you know what I mean? Go ahead.
And please slow me down because I've been doing this for 20 years, okay?
I hear you, okay.
And everything I did, anyone listening, please do a fact check because I promise you it's correct.
So 2013, the project that the Corps spent 10 years, you're saying, planning, which was a 2,500 to 15,000 cubic feet per second dredging project. Accurate?
Yes, sir.
Okay,
so that's your engineering. That's your scientific. Now, listen to the beauty part about this. It was a 65% federal, 35% state match. Now, it was a 50-50 match for the engineering, okay? Mm-hmm. The engineering went on for 6 years. The EIS studies and everything they got to do to achieve to the point of building this diversion.
Mm-hmm.
In 2013, when the CPRA got billions of dollars, there's certain people that decided they wanted the big diversion of 75,000 CFS, and they were going to build their own delta. Okay, so at that time...
Hang on one second. Let me ask you a question. Gordon, so you're saying that if the BP oil spill had not happened, had this pot of money not become available, the Mid-Barataria sediment diversion would never have even come about, and they'd have been proceeding with the Corps, the WERDA plan that the Corps designed with the 2,500 to 15,000 cubic feet per second dredging plan?
Bang, you got it.
Okay. I'm not trying to put words in your mouth. I'm just trying to understand.
I want to make sure the audience can hear me.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so here comes 2013. The CPRA turns around. And look, I respect anyone for what their views, their thoughts, what they believe. I work on science, and I work on getting projects out. So in 2013, they got billions of dollars. Okay, well, we're going to start our own. We're going to go to 75,000 CFS diversion by ourselves. Goodbye, Corps of Engineers. Now, remember, if the Corps of Engineers would have built this, they under the WERDA bill, Water Resources Development Act of 2007, the Corps was authorized to design and construct. Now, you still have to appropriate the money, but design and construct a 2,500 to 15,000 cubic foot per second and long distance pipeline sediment. We'll start calling that slurries.
Okay.
Slurry pumping is what I call it. Remember, they had already built Davis Pond at 10,000 CFS. They had already built Carnarvon at 8,000 CFS. They knew you could only build smaller diversions because they already built two. Now, we came along with all this money. Not when I knew it because I was never in favor of it. But they came along with all this monopoly money, I call it, and they had more money than they knew what to do with, And they embarked on this experiment to build a 75,000 cubic foot per second. Now, it started at 750. It went to 150. It started at 750 million. It went to 1.5 billion, then 2.1 billion, then 2.8 billion, 3.1 billion. Now, you out of BP money at $2.88 billion. I have a report on it. So you out of money now. So you got about $180 million the state's got to put up right now if you want to build it. So Tommy, let me tell you what they didn't do. They were in such a rush in 23, August of 23, because you had an old administration going out, new one coming in, they wanted to get their project out. They did not do the MFIP compliance according to the Corps of Engineers permit. If somebody listening pulled the Corps of Engineers permit, you had to get compliance of 8 parishes in the affected area. They even got a little map drawn of all that in the Corps permit. Now, why MFIP? Because you're lifting the basin 1'7" to 3 feet. Which would affect your BFE, your base flood elevation, on your insurance.
Wait, let me jump in for 1 second, Gordon, because you said that the other day, and I got to ask you about that. How do you lift the level of a basin? Does the tide not go in and go out? What am I missing here?
Well, because you're putting, maximum 75,000 is 2 billion, with a B, gallons an hour, not a day. Mm-hmm. The minimum you can run it and be beneficial is 1.3 billion gallons a day. And that depends on the river stages. Okay, you are pushing all that water in there. It just don't drain like your bathtub. Mm-hmm. It takes months to drain.
Gotcha.
And where's it going to drain down? Right, the Grand Isle, Cooper Bell, Caminata, Barataria, and Four Bayous. It's all going to drain that way, but it doesn't drain overnight. So you have a buildup. Nobody wants to talk about the 3 feet rise in the water elevation. So before they started, they should have gotten NFIP compliance, and each parish was supposed to sign off on it. Check with the parishes in there. Nobody went to no one. It was rushed through to just get it started. Let's just get it started. They didn't do it. They didn't do the proper evaluations on all oil field pits out there. They didn't do it on the dredge material. You are going to spend $50 to $120 million a year on dredging, and I've got the report from an engineer on that. This is in Gordon Dove's report.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
$50 million to $120 million, because if you shoal up the Mississippi River in the permit, there are you fact checkers out there. Look at the permit. We are responsible for shoaling of the river. It costs you $50 million to $100 million to start dredging shoals out there caused by this thing.
Gordon, let me take a break. I got to stop here for a break. I think there's a good stopping point. Let me take a break. We'll pick it up when we come back. And again, sir, I don't mean to interrupt you, but it's not print where you can go back and reread, and I'm just going by what the people are texting in, the questions they have, and I want to make sure that you get heard, okay?
I want everyone to hear what Paul Harvey says, the rest of the story.
That's what I'm trying to get out there. Thank you, Gordon Dove, Coastal Protection Restoration Authority Chairman. We'll come back with him. Then the next half hour, we'll talk to Simone Malaz, who's on the other side of this project. She's with the campaign director for Restore the Mississippi River Delta. 922, back in a flash, WWL. 3 minutes left with Gordon Dove, chairman of the Coastal Protection and Restoration Authority, making his case against the Mid-Barataria sediment diversion. Gordon, somebody texted in, do the scientists and experts at Coastal Protection Restoration Authority support the pivot away from the Mid-Barataria sediment diversion?
Some do, some don't. Some are sold on it. But as it becomes known of what really happened a lot of them are not in favor of it. But let me say this right quick before I get off of here. Mm-hmm. What Governor Jeff Landry wanted from us and others is facts, figures, reports, a way forward with backup. Listen to me. We work months with engineers. Everything I'm telling you is documented, and it's backup. And that, you know, look, I don't down anyone for believing in the 75,000. You don't have enough. Right now, you're almost $200 million in the hole. It will cost the state billions to move forward with this. You cannot build it. Remember, we haven't even got into hypoxia. You're going to have hypoxic zones north of Grand Isle. We haven't even got into forever chemicals, PFAS, which has been detected right there in the park, in, right off the river in the park in Plaquemines Parish. This thing, you cannot afford it. And let's get to this redacting mess, this deal. We found that a document was redacted, and it was sent to the Corps of Engineers. It's our fiduciary duty, and I would do it anyway. If we sent it to the Corps, the Corps did their own evaluation. They already had everything which we sent. And I understand, I was told it would probably go all the way to Washington, and the Corps suspended it. They're trying to say we gave certain documents. The Corps has every document. You're not going to tell the Corps to suspend something, because they don't normally suspend it or terminate a permit. It's pretty serious when they do that.
Gordon, we only have 2 minutes left.
Telling you is a fact.
Got you. Only 2 minutes left, so let me wrap it up with this. If not the Mid-Barataria sediment diversion, you would say go back to what was planned in 2013 with the 2007 with the Corps of Engineers, 2005 rather, with the 2,500, 15,000 CFS plan. That's what you would do with the slurry pumping?
Yes, sir. Slurry pumping and a smaller diversion. We would redistribute, listen to me, $2.2 billion in new projects. If Simone comes on there and says you're going to lose that money, she's not being honest with you. That money belongs to Louisiana. I almost laugh when some of those people say that. You're going to get $2.2 billion distribution. You're going to save over $1 billion when the Corps bills it. Because we're only going to match 35%. Let me tell you this, Tommy. We already checked with the NIFLIF folks. We can use the NIFLIF monies to match it.
Now, what's that word, Gordon, you're saying?
Reauthorization.
What is that you're saying? Mithwith? What is that? What did you say? Mithwith? I don't know.
It's one of the funds. Mithwith Fund is funding for barrier islands and diversions.
Okay.
We can match the federal government's smaller diversion with the BP money that's going to be released if this thing is shut down. We are going to put $2.2 billion. All you listeners out there, we're going to get $2.2 to $2.3 billion in new projects, and we're still going to build a diversion. We're moving forward on a land bridge in Barataria. We're moving on two other slurry pumpings in Barataria, working with President Keith Hinckley. You've had him on there. He can confirm all this. We're moving forward with Barataria. We will produce over 19,000 acres in 12 to 14 years. They may create 8 to 14,000 in 50 years. I won't be here to see if they're wrong or not.
All right, Gordon, we got
to see if I'm right.
We got to run. I appreciate your time. I really do. And the insight, 9:33, 27 till 10. You heard Gordon mention Simone Melaz. She's going to join us when we come back. I would think she's been listening. We'll see what she has to say about Gordon saying that she's lying by if she says we're going to lose the money. Traffic now, WWL. WWL, quickly to Simone Melaz, campaign director for Restore the Mississippi River Delta. I don't like to interrupt anybody, but when people come on and they start using acronyms or words and just breezing through something, it would sound nice and clean if I didn't interrupt and find out what they were talking about, but it would be meaningless. It would be white noise. There would be no communication. So for those of you texting in thanking me for trying to make it understandable, I appreciate the kind words. Simone Melaz, I presume you were listening to Gordon Dove just now?
Oh, I heard every word, Tommy. Thank you.
All right. The floor is yours. He said that you were lying when you said that, or you would be lying if you said we would lose $2.2 billion. I guess we'll start there.
Yeah, let's definitely start there, Tommy. I grew up in Houma. I live in Jefferson, and I'm raising two kids here, and I care about this coast. I have been working on coastal issues for 20 years. And to call me out and say that I'm being dishonest, along with the other ways that they've called out other people that are fighting for this coast, you know, that we have a saying in our house, Tommy, you know, you're entitled to your own opinions, but not your own facts. Mm-hmm. And so I'm definitely willing to talk through those facts with you right now.
So let's talk about the original, and I'm just going to go to some of the questions I asked Gordon, and you can give me your answer. I asked him about directly, if the BP oil spill had not happened, this money would not have been available, that the Mid-Barataria sediment diversion never would have happened. And then he went back to this, or started with, the core study in 2005 that talked about 2,500 to 15,000 cubic feet per second with long distance dredging, or whatever the word was he used. Mm-hmm. To talk about that, if you will, and the accuracy of that, in your opinion.
Sure, yes. Sure. So this does date back all those years. So this goes back to prior to Katrina. There's the Louisiana Coastal Area Study, where they were studying a suite of restoration options. And then, Tommy, you know this, the world changed here in Louisiana, especially for Katrina and Rita, and there was a terrible amount of devastation. Then we had, you know, we had Katrina, Rita, Ike, Gustav. Then we had the Deepwater Horizon oil spill. And so, but going back to what Chairman Dove was mentioning about 2007, that was a shortened study in 2007, and the state did pick up that Myrtle Grove project to continue studying it.
What is the Myrtle Grove project?
So it is a reintroduction of the river as well in that area, of course, around Myrtle Grove. And that was always part of coastal master plans. And so I respect Chairman Dove for his time in the legislature. And during that time, there were coastal master plans approved that had those reconnections to the river, including this idea of Mid-Barataria or Myrtle Grove. Something, one of those, they used to have multiple reconnections to the rivers, uppers, middles, and lowers, and they honed in on this specific area in Plaquemines Parish. But Tommy, I really want to reiterate how much that basin has changed and how much Louisiana's coast has changed, even in that short amount of time. So in 2005, we had Katrina, Rita. Right after that, we had Ike, Gustav. We had a devastating oil spill that exacerbated the loss on our coast. That hurt us, obviously, which is why we got this money, Tommy. This money is tied to the damages that happened because of the oil spill. And we have to be able to, the projects we put in place have to be tied to that damage. And I want to be clear that the money is for restoration in Louisiana. It is not for the government of Louisiana. It is not for CPRA. It is to Louisiana. And we do understand through the preliminary damage assessment, which happened when they had the oil spill, there was a consent decree that outlined all those parameters of how that money can be spent. And there are questions about if that money can go to anything to that has to do with the health of the northern Gulf of Mexico, or just to Louisiana, the geography itself. But just to be clear, it does not belong to the government of Louisiana.
And I'm trying to make this like a math equation so I can understand it. Are you saying that the Mid-Barataria sediment diversion came about and is directly designed to offset specific damages caused by the BP oil spill, or am I wrong?
Yes, they had to prove that through an extensive process. Chairman Dove outlined that, how long they studied this project, 10 years, 6 years to get a permit. I want to mention that the permit was under an accelerated process as part of the first Trump administration. So this has gone through, including through the master planning process, multiple governors of different parties, and multiple presidents of different parties. And so that's how long this has been studied and how long this has been looked at. There are thousands of people that worked and probably touched on this study for Mid-Barataria, including public comment. And Tommy, that's one thing that I want to be sure to reiterate with you, is when Chairman Dove and the state talks about these alternatives that are being developed, they're talking about going back to Myrtle Grove. Why is there not a public process for that? Why is that different than the 10 years we had to study, the 6 years to get the permit? Why are we not part of this discussion? And why are we only hearing about it in legislative hearings or through the media? This project is for the health and the future of Louisiana, and we should know about it.
Let me get to the money part of this again, because I'm trying to understand it. The $2.2 billion, he said, would be lost. Then, and let me get back to that in a second, but he also talked about the price of the money, price of the project going from $750 million, $1.5 billion, $2.1, $2.8, now up to $3.1. He said at $2.8 billion, we're out of BP money. So tell me about the $2.2 billion that he's talking about. Would the state or the money be lost or not? And what happens after $2.8 billion with the Mid-Barataria sediment diversion?
Yeah, so let's start unpacking the money. They have spent over $500 million at least right now on the project, because remember, the project was under construction when they hit this pause a year or so ago. They also had all of the money in place when they broke ground in August of 2022.
How are you defining all of the money, Simone?
So they had to get these permissions, Tommy. They had to go to NIFWIF, which is, that is related to the criminal damages for the oil spill. And then they also had to go to the trustees that are responsible for overseeing the natural resource damage. So that permit process was one thing. And in parallel, there was another process just to get the money approved, because it had to connect to the injury, and it had to be, we had to be able to prove, we had to prove that this project is worthy, if you will, of spending those oil spill dollars on that project.
So when you said it was approved, how much money was approved at that point?
Right. So the contract itself is about $2 billion, and then they did have that mitigation money, and we haven't talked about that enough, that the mitigation dollars that were tied to the project that were for these communities and for the fisheries were also attached to that project. And then, of course, they had to purchase land, there's insurance, and there was a high, there was a big contingency built into that. And so that's where you get closer to the $3 billion number. There was a contract signed with the big construction manager at risk firm, the one firm that was closer to $2 billion. And then, of course, they have almost 100 subcontractors that are part of that agreement. So going back to the money, Tommy, a little bit for the mitigation dollars, that's one thing that also goes away without this project.
Tell me what mitigation dollars are, Simone, for people that don't know.
Yes. Right. So when we went through this extensive study for years and we got the permit, a condition of the permit or tied to this permit is the fact that you have to have these dollars set aside for impacts. And the two kind of biggest buckets are the community, and that's for places like Myrtle Grove, Happy Jack. These are all names you know from your parish. Mm-hmm. They had community mitigation tied to those areas, and then, of course, for the fisheries themselves. And a lot of this community are already experiencing impacts from high water. We were just down there earlier this week. They had a high river, they had a southwest wind, water was high already. So this money was set aside for this project, but it was really money that's needed for that community today and for those communities and that industry today. So that's something we don't talk about enough as well, is that money that was going directly to these communities, to the people in the parish, and to that specific fishing industry. And it wasn't just oysters or shrimp. There were other things as well. But that was all part of the process. That's not money we had to go to D.C. and ask for. That was tied to this process. And so when we talk about the money already spent, I think there's a big question out there of the $500 million that they already spent, how much more will they need? They've asked the contractor to demobilize from the site. And then what happens with this mitigation money? It goes away, but that does not make the needs of the community go away.
So what happens to, let me go back a second, $2.8 billion, Gordon Dove said you were out of money, out of BP money at that point. As far as affordability, sustainability of the Mid-Barataria sediment diversion, how much is it supposed to cost as of now? And what about maintaining it with
So let's go back to that. So in part of coastal Louisiana, any project, it could be a levee project, it could be a restoration project, it could be this diversion project, does have an O&M cost, operations and maintenance. That is, and you should, right? You should set, if you buy a new car, you should make sure that you have enough money, not just to pay the note, but to also be able to change the oil and the tires, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So that is part of every coastal restoration project. And a lot of times, especially when it comes to protection projects, those are taxpayer dollars. We just spent a lot of time talking about how Mid-Barataria is Deepwater Horizon dollars, not tax dollars. But a lot of times, these projects can be tax dollars that are part of the cost share, also part of the O&M. Tommy, that's something that we have been paying for a long time in coastal Louisiana, is the O&M on these projects. Chairman Dove mentioned that he had a report from an engineer that said an annual cost would be $50 to $120 million. Mm-hmm. We want to see that report. We want to ask about that. We've heard that the Old River Control Structure annual, which is the split where, you know, some goes down the Atchafalaya and some goes down the Mississippi River, their annual O&M cost, I think, is $10 million. Mm-hmm. So how are we getting, we want to know how you got to a $50 to $120 million annual cost for that. I'll also say that, you know, again, as part, if we're going to build these projects here in coastal Louisiana, we should think about the O&M, but we need to be reasonable about estimating those costs, where that money comes from, and we can't have a protection alone system. We have to protect the protection, and the best way to do that, to protect these coastal communities, is through restoration projects.
We're about out of time, Simone, but let me just ask this and wrap it up this way. I don't know. I honestly don't. Gordon knows the stuff. You know this stuff. You know, acronyms for, and people are texting me saying thanks for breaking down the acronyms because they don't know what the hell anybody's talking about. Why can't you or CPRA and Restore the Mississippi River Delta and everybody get together in the same room and do it in public, televise it or whatever, and just have it out and say, okay, this is what this shows, this is what that shows, this is the best thing? Because all I want is to keep the coastline. I don't want to hurt anybody, but I want to make sure that the state is still here and the coast is still viable for my kids to grow up and grandkids, et cetera. So take me through that real quick in the minute that we have left.
Same thing, Tommy. I started my conversation by saying that, and I'll end my conversation by saying that too. I want the same thing. I want a viable future here in coastal Louisiana. I want to protect these coastal communities. I want to have a sportsman's paradise, and I want my kids to love the same place that I love. We want, Chairman Dove keeps talking about all these reports, this information, and the fact that he's, you know, corresponded with the Corps of Engineers, 4 letters and 2 meetings. Share that information with us. There should not be a separate process right now than the one that it took for us to get to this decision. Share that information with us right now. Share those letters. Share that engineering report. We want to see the same things that they're seeing.
I thank you. I would love to get both of you together in the studio at the same time. I'll give you an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, whatever we need, because I think it is that important. It is that big of a project, and it's that important to the state. So, you know, Jordan will talk to you, and we'll see what we can work out. Gordon Dove, Chairman, Coastal Protection and Restoration Authority, on the first half hour. If you want to go back and listen to that, you can use the Odyssey app and use the rewind feature. Simone Malaz, Campaign Director for Restore the Mississippi River Delta. All I know is it seems like we're fiddling while Rome burns. 9:55, back in a flash, WWL.